Thank you, men. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 22, and then turn over to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. Thank you, men. That was a blessing. Jesus is going to come back again. The same Jesus. I keep hearing something buzzing behind me. If it's a telephone, nobody's home. Nobody's going to answer it anyway. We have about 4 more weeks of hot weather. And hopefully it'll start getting a little bit cooler. Can you hang on? Though they that endure to the end. Okay. By the way, Jesus could come back before the cool weather sets in. You ready? Boy, that beats air conditioning. Jesus is coming again. And I'm looking forward to that. Ask you to be in prayer for Brother Jimmy Williams' family. His brother that we've been praying for, it's had been terminally ill, passed away this last Friday. The funeral would be tomorrow in Graham. And then Mrs. Campbell, the mother of one of our deaf girls here, is having surgery in the morning. We ask you to remember her in prayer. Then please continue to remember Brother Sheffield that is struggling with treatment for cancer, and the radiation and chemotherapy brings a person just about to the point of death, trying to get rid of what's affecting their body. So really pray for him. He's really struggling right now. He's having a tough time, and he would appreciate it. If you found your place in 2 Samuel chapter 22, stand with me, and we shall begin to read the first seven verses, and then turn over to Psalm 18 and read verse 4, 5, and 6. The Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Now listen, God's always used music to praise him and thank him. And here David's just experienced a great deliverance from the hands of Saul, who is trying to kill him, and he's praising God in song. And the Bible says, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the flood of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God. He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter in to his ears." And then turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter 18. And I shall ask that you read verse 4, 5, and 6 with me. And again, this is David in a psalm, praising God for the same thing that we just read about as it took place in time and recorded in Scripture. "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Now, I want to use those stories as a basis to preach this message tonight: how to deal with problems when they come into the Christian's life. The average Christian deals with problems completely contrary to the way God tells us to. And we wonder why we don't have any peace. We wonder why there's no spiritual growth. We wonder why what God is doing in our life. Now I want to teach you tonight from Scripture how to deal with problems when they come into the Christian's life. Father, help me as I bring this message. We live in a hurting world. We deal with problems of every size and of every sort in our life, week after week after week. And the worst problems of all are spiritual problems, and most of the time we don't know how to deal with them. We know we can't run away from our problems, no more than we can run away from our sins. There's a lot of people that try it. But when they think they found a hiding place and come out of hiding, they face their problems anew. Lord, would you help us tonight to learn how to deal with those issues and problems of our life so we can live victoriously, so we can grow in grace, so we can be the kind of Christians you can bless and help in these last days. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and speak through me thy words as you'd have me to say them. And work in our hearts. Lord, don't let one of us get by without hearing the Holy Spirit of God speaking in some way to our heart and to our life tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. David has been a hunted man. At the time of this writing, he's a fugitive. Saul is trying to ruin him. He's trying to kill him. Saul is trying to run him down. The old enemy called jealousy was eating on Saul, and he is blaming David for all of his woes and all of his problems. But the problem wasn't David. Saul didn't know that. David has lived in caves. He's hid himself in the mountains. He's lived in terrible conditions. He survived the heat and the cold while being hunted. He's lived in damp and wet conditions. He's been hungry and thirsty. He's had to deal with loneliness and fears during this time. The amazing thing is that David at this point in his life had done nothing wrong. God had rejected Saul as king and had anointed David to replace Saul. Yet, before David takes the throne, even after the anointing of God, he's going through a terrible, terrible time of suffering and persecution. Look at the verses of our text once again in the book of Psalms. Look at verse 4, 5, and 6. David is in his song talking to God. He said, "The sorrows of death come past me, and the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears." Now this is a Christian. This is a man that's not done anything wrong at this time in his life. Yet look at what he's going through. He's suffering. If you haven't noticed yet, Christians go through some very difficult times of trials and heartaches and testings in their life. There are some horrible times of hurt and heartache in every Christian's life. Now, what I want to do tonight is consider how we should deal with these problems that come into our lives. Most of the time, we get ourselves in a mess and we don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to deal with it. And we just keep going through the same problem again and again and again. And this isn't a part of my message, but may I say to you, one of the major problem causers in our life is Christians make major decisions without ever seeking counsel. Major decisions without ever seeking counsel. And I warn you at the beginning of every summer that while it's hot and we're frustrated and we're going through the turmoils of just trying to make ends meet and deal with the heat and our family and so forth, is not the time to rashly make decisions about your life. And should never make decisions without counsel. Somebody else's perspective that's not facing what you're facing at the moment. But you know, I found out most of the people that come to me here lately are just coming to inform me what they're going to do. They're not asking for counsel. And I tell you, I'll go home and tell my wife, honey, so-and-so's leaving. They're moving to such-and-such for a job. And she said, well, did you give them any counsel? I said, they didn't ask for any. If they don't ask, I'm not going to give. I mean, people, if they don't want it, they're not going to take it. And let me challenge you. You don't know everything, and neither do I. But counsel from good, godly people will help us in making decisions. Don't go to the backslidden Christian or the person that's having the same problems you're having and ask them for counsel. They hadn't got out of it, and they don't know how to get you out of it. If they had known, they'd already been dealing with it. So, how are we going to deal with our problems? Well, number one, we must examine the problem we're going through to see what is its cause and what is its purpose. You're never going to deal with it biblically and properly if you don't know the cause of the problem or the purpose of the problem. I want victory in my life. I don't want to keep going through trouble after trouble caused by the same problems and the same sin. And if God's put me to a test, I want to pass that test the first time because I don't want to take the course over. Some of you have been taking it over, haven't you? So we must examine the problem we're going through to see what is its cause or what is its purpose. I was preaching a meeting down in Alexandria, Louisiana, a number of years ago, and we was having a question-answer time in the pre-service, and a young man stood up and said, "Preacher, I must be a terrible, terrible sinner because of all the problems I'm going through." And I asked the young man some questions. I said, "Sir, are you living in willful sin?" He said, "Not to my knowledge." I said, "Are you violating scriptural principle?" "No, sir." "Are you tithing and giving?" "Yes, sir." "Are you rebelling against God's will for your life?" "No, sir." I said, "Then it sounds like your problem is not because of sin, but God testing you to prove you faithful. Putting you through tests to strengthen you, grow you. There's no growth without pressure. We don't take the next step up in our Christian growth and place of blessing without passing the test of pressure in the lower position." I said, "If none of these things are happening in your life, then why do you say you must be a great sinner?" He said, "Well, I don't know why these other problems would come. Why'd they come in Job's life? He wasn't living in sin. God was proving him faithful. He's putting him to a test, getting ready to bless him with twice as much as he ever had. You think God would give it to him if he'd have failed the test?" No. No. What are you going through the problem you're going through for? We cannot grow through the difficulties we face if we make a wrong assessment as to the cause or purpose of our problem. We're not going to gain victory through this problem if we don't know what caused it. I was thinking as I was preparing this message, I've long believed that maybe half of the church membership of any church, and maybe more in some churches, are unsaved. I'm not the only one feel that way. Dr. W.A. Criswell said he felt that. Dr. J. Harold Smith said he felt that. B.R. Lakin said he felt that. I could go on and on and on. Let me tell you one of the reasons I believe that. Half or more of the church members aren't even tithing. And nothing ever happens to them. God said that's not going to do. It's not going to work that way in a Christian's life. For whom the Lord loves, He chasteneth. We can't steal from God and rob from God as Christians without God chastening us. And by the way, if you're one of those church members that never tithe and nothing ever happens to you, you never feel conviction, you ought to get more concerned than that. You ought to get concerned about what you call salvation. One of the greatest evidences of a person's salvation is the fact that we cannot sin and violate biblical principle and get by with it. We cannot do it. We cannot grow through the difficulty we face if we make a wrong assessment as to the cause or the purpose of our problem. It may be because of sin in our life. As Christians. And that problems, those problems come in the form of chastisement. God speaks about that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Turn there. Let's just read it. Let's have a little Bible study. Problems may come in your life because of sin. And those problems come in the form of chastisement. Chastisement is God spanking His children when they do wrong. The purpose of chastisement is never, God's never trying to punish us or get even with us. He's trying to bring us back to the place where we'll get right with God and can renew that sweet fellowship with Him. The Bible says, in verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 12, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards. You're illegitimate. You don't have a heavenly Father. You're not a son of God, a child of God," is what He's saying. So problems we go through may be because of sin in our life, and our problems come in the form of chastisement. Or it might be that the problems come in a form of testing. God is trying us in our faith and service. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. Peter, writing to these Christians, says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. Look at verse number 6 before that. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. God's trying them to prove them faithful. proving their faith and service and commitment to Almighty God. It may be that our problems are coming to us due to our ignorance, our stupidity. We're going through problems and troubles and tough times because we're ignorant of the Word of God. Or we just haven't learned. Maybe we're acting more like sheep than we think. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? He says, you're fools. You can't learn. You haven't learned. You're not obeying the truth. It may be because of our ignorance, our foolish heart, we're going through troubles and times. It may be that we're going through trouble at this time because of Satan's attack on our life to hinder us in our progress for God. Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 2, if you will. Paul said, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So it may be the problems you're going through is nothing more than Satan trying to hinder you in growing and becoming all that God wants you to be. But my point is, we cannot fix the problem biblically if we don't know what the problem is. We don't know its cause and its purpose, then we can't deal with it properly. For instance, David went through a terrible time in his life because of his sin with Bathsheba. The sickness and death of that baby. Then the rape of his daughter Tamar by her brother Amnon. Then the murder of Amnon by Absalom. And then Absalom's rebellion against David. David knew all the while why this was happening. God had already told him it was happening, going to happen, because of his sin and his rebellion. It was the resulting effect of his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Now, God wasn't trying to test David. God wasn't trying to prove David, strengthen him. God was dealing with him because of sin in his life. And then look at Job, if you will. Job went through a terrible, terrible time of suffering and problems. But the Bible tells us in Job chapter 1 that God allowed it to prove Job faithful. He went through all of his suffering. God was proving him faithful. Now you'll deal with those kind of problems differently than David had to deal with his problems of sin and immorality. And then there's old Jonah. Jonah went through a terrible storm and was swallowed by a great fish because of his rebellion. Jonah wasn't a lost man. He was a child of God. And Jonah had to deal with his problems differently than Job dealt with his problems. If we don't know what the problem, the cause of the problem is, and the purpose of the problems, then how are we going to deal with them properly and biblically? Israel went into the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief and disobedience. Israel was taken into captive for 70 years because of their idolatry. I'm saying to you tonight, if we're going to deal with problems biblically and properly, we've got to examine our problem as to the cause and as to its purpose. If God is chastising you, He's trying to get you right with Him. Like He dealt with David, like He dealt with Jonah, like He dealt with Israel. And the problem's not going to get better until you deal with sin as instructed in the Bible. And if you're a Christian and you don't, in 1 John chapter 5, in the passage where He gives us those wonderful assurances that we're children of God, then He slips in this little verse. There is a sin unto death. Writing to Christians. Christians that are ignoring God's Word and ignoring the will of God and living in their sin and ignoring the assurance of salvation and continuing to live like the devil's crowd, God says there comes a place when I've had enough. And Christianity would be better off, the family would be better off, the church would be better off just to take that person on to heaven. That person would be better off. Is God testing you to prove you faithful like Job? Is He putting you through problems to strengthen you for greater service and greater responsibility? Is God putting you through difficulty to try to bring you to the place where He can bless you in a greater way and use you as never before? What do you do when you go through problems like that? You've examined yourself and there's no willful sin. You're not violating Bible principle. You're in the will of God. The best you know how, you're in the will of God. What do? Ask God to help you just hold on and be faithful. To stay true through the problem. Learn to lean on Him. Keep a right spirit with Him. Go through the problem, allowing God to work in your life to accomplish the purpose He's trying to bring to pass. That's not the time to get angry with God. That's not the time to quit church. That's not the time to blame the preacher. Keep a right spirit. Be faithful. Be true to God. Pass the test. In a short while, it'll be over. And if you're true, God will be pleased. And you'll be blessed. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you're going to go through those from time to time. That's part of the growth process. You better learn that. This world's full of backslidden Christians that went through the process of being put to the test. And they flunked, and they got angry with God, and angry with church, and angry with the preacher. And they blame God and the church and the preacher for everything happening in their life. And all the time, God was trying to grow them. God was trying to strengthen them. When I was a boy growing up, when I was a little tight and working in the fields, Daddy'd give me jobs that I could do. But every now and then, He'd give me a job bigger than I was. You know what He was trying to do? Grow me. Strengthen me. Help me to mature as a son. Dear God, if we treat our children like children all the time, they'll grow up to be like some of yours. Babies, 20 years old. Can't live by themselves or make decisions by themselves. Somewhere we've got to mature. Somewhere we've got to learn to do right and we've got to learn to stand for God. We're never going to get stronger if we don't have some pressure put on us. God doesn't put us in the time of testing and trial to just prove us faithful. You see, you may be faithful where you are right now and just doing great. But God doesn't want you to stay where you are. Our Christian life is to be learning and growing. So as we learn and grow, God's got to toughen us up and teach us and strengthen us and prepare us for the greater pressure, the greater responsibility. I hear young people all the time saying, man, I want a promotion. But with promotion comes greater responsibility. With promotion comes greater pressure. Say, I don't want that, I just want the money. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way in life, and it doesn't work that way in your Christian life. You've got to be willing to pass the test. And oh, thank God, we have a God that wants to strengthen us and grow us and mature us and make us into a Christian of great trust and faith, a Christian he can trust great responsibility with in his work. And with that great responsibility comes greater blessings also if we're faithful. I know we want all of that without the pressure, without the problems. Oh, preacher, I want to be a pastor of a church like you're pastoring. Are you ready? Have you been proven faithful? Have you gone through the fires of testing? Have you stood true in times of trouble? Well, my soul, if you can't handle where you are, you're not going to handle more pressure and more responsibility until you've grown to that place. So God is trying to grow us. So hold on. Yield to His will. Don't quit. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter. God's trying to make us better, not bitter. May I say, secondly, if the cause of our problem is sin, if that problem is chastisement, the purpose of that problem is to get us right and return to God and His sweet fellowship. God's not just trying to get even. Some of us have the idea that God is a monster in heaven with a club looking for every opportunity to slap us upside the head, beat us down. No, no, no. God is a loving Heavenly Father that grieves over us when we go astray and wants us back close to Him in sweet fellowship and blessing. No earthly father wants his children to be rebellious and out of fellowship. We want to be able to have time with them and talk with them and love them and do things for them and bless them, be honored by them. Well, if that's true in our life, how much more is it true in our Heavenly Father's life? He wants us close to Him. He wants us in right relationship. If we're blessed by giving things to our earthly children, how much more is God blessed to give things to His spiritual children? He's just trying to get us in a place where He can bless us. What do we do if it's sin? Repent and come back to God. Do like the prodigal. Come back to the Father and say, I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be thy son. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Be honest about it. Do like David. David repented and cried out and said, my God is first and foremost against heaven and in thy sight. Got right with God. What do we do about it if it's because of sin in our life? Like rebellious Jonah, Get right. Oh, Jonah got right while in the belly of the whale. He didn't get right in the storm. He just kept on rebelling. God's got something worse for you if you're not going to get right where you are right now. He prepared a great storm, and that didn't do it. He prepared a great fish. And I love it in Jonah chapter 2 when it describes Jonah in that whale's belly and the seaweed and all the stuff he's having to deal with. He said, what was old Jonah doing in that whale's belly? He was praying, trying to get right with God. He was rebellious, but he wasn't stupid. He knew he'd got himself in a mess bigger than the storm. He was about to melt in the gastric acids in the whale's belly. And he's praying to God and confessing his sin. And all the time he's doing that, God is guiding that old whale toward the shore close to Nineveh. He vomited him up. And he made a beeline toward Nineveh. What's it going to take before you and I get right with God? We've got to determine what the cause of our problems is. The cause is before we ever get right about it, ever deal with it properly or biblically. If it's chastisement, it's because of our sin and rebellion. If it's not because of sin, then God's putting us to the test and trying to grow us and strengthen us. Israel realized it was their idols and idolatry that resulted in that captivity. It took 70 years. They're slow learners. It'll have made good Baptists. They had to die in captivity, and a new generation grew up confessing their sin and the sins of their father and returned to God. May I say to you, problems will get worse and worse until we get right with God about it, or God ends our life. Remember, the purpose of chastisement is not God trying to get even. God's trying to get us right, so He can bring us back to that sweet place of fellowship and blessing, where we can be usable once again. Thirdly, if the cause of our problem is God testing us to prove us faithful, then hang on. Don't give up, don't give out, don't quit. The devil's object is to get us to quit. God's purpose is to prove our faith, to strengthen us for greater service, to get us in a place of greater blessing. Don't give up, don't give out, don't make excuse, don't quit. Yield yourself to Him. When I find myself in a time like that, I say, God, I don't understand all that You're trying to do, but I will one day. But I want to yield myself to You. I want You to accomplish Your purpose the first time. I sure don't want to go through it again. I don't want to be a slow learner. I don't want to have to take that grade over. Fourthly, in the time of our distress, what do we do? We're to do as David did in Psalm 18:6, call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord in confession of sin, 1 John 1:9. Call upon the Lord in confession of faith. If it's not sin that's the problem, then call upon Him and confess your love and your faith and your determination to live for Him and stand through those tough times. Let me give you five things to do that's laid out for us very plainly in the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Look, if you will. James chapter 4, verse number 7. What do we do? Number one, submit ourselves to God. Verse number 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Don't fight Him. Don't run from Him. Allow Him to accomplish His purpose in your life. Secondly, what do? When we find ourselves in problems, resist the devil. Don't give in to Satan. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Dear God, when I'm going through problems, I don't need to give place to the devil. I don't need to give him some place in our life to make problems worse. Resist the devil. Resist him by doing right. Resist him by the right kind of fellowship with God's people. Resist him by listening to the right music. Resist him by feeding on the Word of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Third thing he tells us, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw near unto you. How do we draw near to God? By prayer. Boy, that's a novelty to some people here tonight. Pray. Well, I don't do much praying. I just call the preacher and ask him to pray for me. Oh, how foolish. Don't you know one of the blessings of being a Christian is that you have as much access to God as the preacher? And if the preacher's not right, you have more. And by the way, there are preachers that are not right. I am a priest believer. I don't have to go to the priest and ask him to intercede for me. I have a great high priest and his commission is come boldly before the throne of grace that you might find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Now I believe in having people pray for you. Absolutely. But dear, thank God I don't have to wait until I can find some preacher. When I have a problem, I can drop to my knees right then, in that very moment, and have access into the throne room of a thrice holy God who loves me and calls me son. He loved me and died for me. He made it possible for me to call upon Him and told me He'd hear me and He'd answer me. James tells us why we don't have prayers answered. Because we ask not. We don't pray. We don't pray. Well, I'll let the preacher do my praying for me. You're foolish. Some of you are addicted to cell phones. You talk to everybody everywhere about everything. And yet you ignore talking to the person that really can make a difference about everything. Why, you buy this blueberry and blackberry and strawberry and this iPhone and my phone and your phone and every kind of phone. If a phone company wants to make a new $1 billion, all they need to do is come out with the latest model and everybody will dump the old one and rush to get the new one. But I'm telling you, we have a direct line to heaven, into the throne room of God, and we never use it. Or at best, we seldom use it. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. God said, you want to start this relationship? Just draw near to me. Call on me. I'll hear you. I'll answer you. Just talk to me. Talk to me. Doesn't cost a quarter. Doesn't cost a monthly payment. You don't have to get your little thing out and push contacts. And some of you, if you could use your phone to get a hold of God, you wouldn't even have His number in memory. You got everybody else's. But you don't even have to have His number memorized. You're never out of the calling area. He never puts you on roaming. That's the only good thing that cell phones have ever done for me, is give me a little message to preach about. Draw near to God in prayer. How else can I draw near to God? In my Bible. In my Bible. When I was in the Navy and away from my new bride, we'd write each other every day. And I'd read those letters over and over and over again. And somehow or another, reading that letter made me feel closer to her. She was still in Dallas, Texas, and I was still in Sanford, Florida. But it made me feel closer to her. And reading His letter always makes me feel closer to Him. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. I think God is looking at us and He said, look, son. He's reading my letter. He's reading it again. He's trying to get close to me. God said, I'm going to draw near to Him because He's trying to draw near to me. How do we draw near to God? In worship. Worship. When you come to the right kind of church, it ought not make you want to get up and do a jig. It ought not make your flesh want to move to the music. It ought to make you want to humble yourself before a holy God and worship Him and confess to Him and love on Him. Let me tell you how another way you can draw near to God. Another way how you can draw near to God. By giving. Do you not feel closer to God after you give your tithes and offerings? I do. I've told you often, I never visualize putting my offering in the pan and some deacon and treasurer getting it back there and counting it. I always visualize it as though I'm putting it in the hand of Jesus. I'm giving it unto the Lord through His church for His glory and His honor. And you know how He accepts it? As giving it directly to Him. Hey, would your tithing and giving be any different if Jesus Himself, if Jesus Himself would walk down the aisle and hold out His hand at offering time? Would your giving be any different? I like the way Jesus did it in the Bible. They passed by and put their offering in the plate, and Jesus stood there and watched. And He watched all of those that had much, that gave much. And He watched this little widow woman, poor little widow woman, that came by and gave just two mites. A mite is the smallest coin Israel has. In fact, it's so worthless they make it out of aluminum. And she put in two little mites. I don't know how many mites it takes to make a penny, but a bunch. And Jesus stopped and said, she's given more than any of you, because she's given everything. And you just gave out of your abundance. She gave everything. Dear God, I got to learn not to do that again off that platform. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Fourth thing he tells us is deal with sin honestly. Look at verse number 8. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let me ask you. Do you think you can draw near to God and he'll draw near to you when he knows you're hypocritical about sin? No. So if we're going to draw near to God, we've got to deal with sin honestly. If we're going to get through our problems and have God's favor and blessings once again, we've got to deal with our sin honestly. Don't just confess it and get rid of it. Don't you think it's presumptuous on your part to ask God to forgive you of a sin and then step outside and do the same thing again? I've had people say, well, I know God will forgive me again, so I just keep on doing it, asking forgiveness. Boy, that's kind of playing with fire, isn't it? That's kind of presumptuous on our part. We need to deal with sin honestly and then look at verse 9 and 10. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. If we're going to deal with sin properly and approach God properly, we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And God says when we approach Him that way, honestly about sin, drawing nigh to Him, resisting the devil, yielding to His will, that He will lift us up. Now let me conclude quickly. Every Christian will face times of chastisement. God said so. He said, every son he receiveth, he chasteneth. All he receives, he chasteneth. He says, if you are a son of God, a child of God, and you don't experience chastening in your life from God, you're not one of His. Every Christian will face times of chastisement. What do? Deal with our sin biblically and honestly and get right with God. That's His purpose. And every Christian will be tried and tested. God said so. What do? Yield to God. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And be faithful through the trial. And He'll strengthen you and He'll bless you and He'll honor you for your faithfulness. Father, that's our message. Help us, Lord, to learn to deal honestly with the things we're going through. There's people right now that are going through problems because of sin in their life and they've never dealt with sin. And the problem's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Greater and greater and greater. They're going to suffer more and put their family through more suffering just because they're stubborn and rebellious and refuse to get right with sin that's in their life. And Lord, there's others here tonight that are going through times of trials and testing. It's your purpose to grow them, to mature them, to strengthen them. You have great plans for them in the future, but they've got to pass the test in the present. Help them, Lord, to yield themselves to You and serve You with all their heart. And Lord, may when the testing's over, they see the purpose and enjoy the blessing and praise Your name for Your goodness and Your love to us. Now, Lord, we're a needy people. Speak to our heart tonight. Help us to respond to you and yield to you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.